So think about the last time you misplaced your car keys.
Oh, the worst.
Right. You spent an entire morning tearing apart your house, checking the exact same coat pockets like three times.
And you still end up walking out the door an hour late.
Exactly. It's this deeply frustrating, classic human blunder. But, eventially you find the keys or you just call a cab and you move on with your day, maybe with a slightly elevated heart
Even
rate.
more stressed, yeah.
Yeah. But now I want you to scale that feeling of panic up exponentially.
Oh boy.
Imagine you are running a major manufacturing plant and your multi-million euro industrial assets, we're talking critical tooling, massive sub-assemblies, they just vanish on the factory floor during a high-stakes, time-sensitive production run.
Which happens way more often than people think.
It really does. And in that scenario, you don't just lose a morning, you lose a quarter. You deeply damage your reputation with key clients. And honestly, in today's hyper-competitive landscape, you potentially lose the whole company.
Yeah, the stakes are just astronomically high.
They really are. And that is exactly why we are here today. Welcome to this deep dive. Our mission today is to explore exactly why traditional industrial asset tracking is basically a fast track to obsolescence by 2026.
Right, it's just not enough anymore.
Nowhere near enough. We're looking at a pretty dense stack of heavily opinionated industry manifestos today, aimed directly at plant leaders and CTOs, and we are going to cut through all those vendor buzzwords to decode what agentic industrial intelligence actually looks like.
And we have to look at it against the brutal realities of the modern factory floor. Because brutal is really the only word for it when you look at how much money has been wasted over the last
Oh,
decade.
absolutely. The sheer amount of capital burned is wild.
It is, because the manufacturing world became just absolutely obsessed with this concept of visibility. I mean, the whole smart factory pitch from the 2010s was incredibly seductive to
Oh,
executives.
of course it was. Connect everything.
Exactly. Put digital eyes on your physical assets, track every forklift, every pallet, every spindle on this massive high-definition screen.
The classic command center aesthetic.
Right. You build this beautiful command center in a climate-controlled, glass-walled office, far away from all the grease and the noise of the actual floor. And the executives, they felt like they were in control because, well, they could see the data flowing.
But our sources actually refer to those beautiful command center dashboards as a, quote, high-definition tombstone for your productivity.
Which is such a great phrase.
It's so sharp. Let's unpack the mechanics of that, though, because on the surface, seeing everything feels like a massive operational upgrade.
It feels like progress.
Right. But the sources argue that this kind of passive visibility is fundamentally inadequate. I mean, when the data on that beautiful screen shows a 15% drop in throughput on a packaging line, or it signals a critical bearing failure.
The system itself does absolutely nothing.
Nothing. It just sits there, it flashes red, and it waits.
It waits for a human. A human has to actually happen to look up at the monitor at the right time.
Which is a big if.
A huge if. And then they have to deliberate over a cup of coffee, maybe pull together some cross-functional team meeting, and eventually, hopefully, decide what action to take.
The manifestos call this the hawk-like trap, right?
Yes. The hawk-like trap. Because a company invests millions of euros in this real-time visibility software suite, only to realize they've inadvertently created a new, massive operational burden.
Right, because now you need people to watch the system.
Exactly. You literally need an entire team of data analysts just to sit and watch the monitors like hawks. The act of maintaining the real-time visibility becomes this full-time, resource-heavy job in itself.
Which, if you think about it from a pure management perspective, makes zero business sense.
None.
Like, if you hire a human floor manager who only walks around pointing at fires,
Just walking around pointing.
yeah, just say, oh, look, a fire,
Exactly.
but never actually grabs a fire extinguisher to put them out,
Yeah.
you fire that manager by lunch.
Oh, absolutely. Immediately.
We would never tolerate that level of passivity from a person. Yet for some reason, we just accept that exact same behavior from a multi-million euro software stack.
And that is the massive pivot we are seeing for 2026.
No.
CTOs are waking up and demanding a shift from passive visibility to autonomous orchestration.
Right, moving from just gathering data to actually executing decisiveness.
Exactly. And the terminology the sources use for this is agentic AI. We're no longer talking about a dashboard alerting a human. We're talking about software agents that speak directly to a company's ERP.
And just for context for everyone listening, the ERP, the Enterprise Resource Planning System, that's basically the central nervous system of a business's data.
Right, handles everything.
Yeah.
Accounting, supply chain, logistics, inventory.
Exactly. So these AI agents, they interface directly with the ERP and execute complex decisions in milliseconds, entirely without human intervention.
So it acts as a virtual operations assistant, but with actual direct execution authority.
That's the key, authority.
Right. So instead of sending a push notification to a manager saying, "Hey, this raw material inventory is low," the AI agent just accesses the ERP itself. It checks the supplier lead times, handles the reordering protocol, updates the financial ledger,
Oh,
and it even optimizes the delivery route for the new materials, all without making a single administrative error.
so basically, if your supposedly smart software still requires a human being to run in and save the day when a threshold is breached,
You haven't automated anything. You've merely digitized your operational chaos.
digitized chaos, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
But bringing this down to the physical reality of the factory floor, that reveals a much bigger challenge, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Because
Yeah.
executing autonomous decisions requires machines that can actually talk to the network in the first place.
Right. Which brings us to what the sources call the fallacy of the greenfield factory.
I love this part because marketing brochures from major hardware vendors, they always love to show off these gleaming, pristine greenfield sites.
Brand new facilities, white floors.
Yeah, where every single machine is IoT native, meaning it connects to the Internet of Things right out of the box.
But the real industrial battleground, especially for like tier one automotive suppliers and the backbone of the German Mittelstand that is the brownfield.
The brownfield, it is a beautiful, chaotic mess.
Yeah, grease, metal dust, heavy legacy hardware. And these highly profitable suppliers are absolutely not going to bankrupt themselves buying a fleet of brand new machines just to get an internet connection.
Of course not. They are running incredibly reliable 20-year-old heavy steel, steel that was built decades before anyone even thought to make a machine talk to a cloud server.
But hardware vendors will always try to push that rip and replace model, right? They try
Yeah.
to frame the old machinery as a liability.
Right, but financially, rip and replace is just a toxic proposition. It's essentially forcing a plant to buy new iron that they don't actually need to manufacture their product.
Just for the sake of digital connectivity.
Exactly. It's a massive waste of capital. So the mid-market leaders of 2026, they bypass this entirely through what the industry calls the brownfield bridge.
Okay, the Brownfield Bridge. Walk us through that.
The strategy is retrofitting, not replacing. You give that legacy machine new senses by strapping on high durability sensors and specialized edge gateways.
And an edge gateway is essentially just a ruggedized, localized computer, right? Like a
Yeah.
translator box sitting right next to the machine.
Exactly. That's a perfect way to describe it.
So let's get really practical about how that translation actually works.
Yeah.
Take a 1998 CNC lathe.
Okay. Classic heavy machinery.
Right, a computer numerical control machine. It cuts heavy metal with incredible precision, but it definitely doesn't speak Wi-Fi.
No, not at all.
It speaks in physical vibrations, operating temperatures, analog electrical currents.
So what happens is the sensors pick up the physical hums and the heat signatures of that 1998 lathe, and the edge gateway instantly translates those raw physical metrics into a sophisticated digital data payload.
That's incredible. So you managed to digitalize an entirely analog factory floor for a fraction of the cost of buying new machines.
Exactly. But crucially, achieving this requires software-defined flexibility built on open-source foundations.
Why open source specifically?
Because the mid-market requires extreme agility to survive. They cannot afford to be locked into a single vendor's proprietary black box.
Right, where they're forced to pay exorbitant licensing fees just to access data from their own machines.
Exactly. The architecture must be deeply flexible to translate a wide variety of analog signals from dozens of different machine brands into one cohesive digital language.
Okay, so upgrading old machinery with edge gateways elegantly solves the hardware connectivity problem. But capturing the data from the machines doesn't solve another, arguably bigger issue.
The human crisis.
Yes, the rapidly accelerating human crisis hitting those exact same factory floors. Because upgraded steel is completely useless without the expertise to actually maintain it.
And this is where the numbers get really scary. The sources highlight a staggering 1.2 million worker shortfall in key technical manufacturing markets.
1.2 million.
Yeah. The demographic time bomb is basically detonating right now. The single greatest threat to industrial stability in 2026 is a terrifying lack of people.
Because if you consider your most valuable asset, it usually isn't the actual milling machine.
No, it's the senior technician running it.
Right, someone who has spent 30 years walking that exact factory floor.
That veteran knows exactly how a specific motor sounds 3 days before it throws a belt.
Or blows a seal.
Exactly. It's a highly tuned intuition. It's almost a sixth sense built on decades of sensory input. And when that person retires, they take that invaluable tribal knowledge right out the door with them.
Which means you simply cannot use traditional asset tracking to solve this. Because you can't track an employee who doesn't exist anymore.
Right. And this is where the concept of automated knowledge capture fundamentally changes the game.
The sources call it capturing the ghost in the machine, right?
Yes. And the mechanism for this is fascinating. By deploying advanced acoustic sensors and ultra-sensitive vibration analysis, the AI actually hard-codes that veteran technician's gut feeling into a relentless digital algorithm.
Wait, so it isn't just sticking a microphone near an engine block?
Oh no, it's way more advanced than that. The AI establishes a highly complex baseline acoustic signature for a perfectly healthy machine. It processes millions of hours of normal operating hums, clicks, thermal expansions.
Right.
And the second a ball bearing starts to wear down long before it actually fails, it creates a microfrequency anomaly.
Like a sound profile completely invisible to the human ear.
Exactly. And the AI flags this microscopic deviation days before the physical belt actually snaps. It's listening to the equipment the exact same way the 30-year veteran does, but it does it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
With mathematically perfect recall.
Exactly.
That is wild. So we aren't just tracking the physical location of assets anymore. We are actually being forced to digitize the soul of our operational expertise just to survive the labor shortage.
And it works. The sources note that implementing this specific kind of AI-driven predictive maintenance is cutting unscheduled downtime by 30%.
30%? I mean, in heavy manufacturing, a 30% reduction translates to hundreds of thousands of euros saved annually.
Easily. In avoided catastrophic repair costs and recaptured production time, this is the shadow expert model of 2026.
The shadow expert, I like that.
The AI reduces the baseline monitoring pressure so significantly that a small, highly efficient human team of, say, 3 people can effectively run a global operation that used to require a team of 30.
Because they're no longer walking the floor listening for rattles. They are strategically deploying resources based on deterministic AI forecasts.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's say a plant leader manages to do all this. They retrofit the old machines, bridge the brownfield gap, successfully capture the tribal knowledge of the retiring workforce. Internal operations are optimized.
Sounds great.
It does. But I have to push back a bit on the idea that internal optimization is enough to secure your margin in 2026.
Ah, the external threats.
Yeah. The sources introduce energy volatility as a massive external threat. They claim that grid costs can wildly fluctuate by up to 400% in a single day.
Yep.
I mean, that sounds like a dramatic edge case used to sell software. Can an AI really pivot a heavy, inflexible manufacturing line schedule on a dime just because the local power grid spiked?
Well, here's the reality check. That 400% fluctuation is not an edge case. It is the new baseline reality of the European energy market.
Wait, really? The baseline?
Yes. The aggressive transition to renewable energy sources like wind and solar has introduced massive daily intermittency. I mean, when the wind stops blowing, grid prices skyrocket. When the sun is at its peak, prices plummet, sometimes even dipping into negative territory.
So energy is no longer just a static background cost you pay at the end of the month.
Not at all. It is a highly aggressive, dynamic production variable. If a plant manager is running an energy-intensive aluminum smelting process during a sudden grid price spike, that production run's profit margin will shift from wildly positive to deeply negative in a matter of hours.
Wow. So treating energy as just a boring utility bill for the accounting department is now a direct threat to the company's survival.
Exactly. And this requires what the industry is calling energy telemetry.
Okay, how does that integrate?
Well, the asset tracking system and the AI agents have to talk directly to the energy meter and the ERP in real time.
So the agentic AI automatically reschedules your most energy-intensive production, runs for the exact moments when the local grid price bottoms out.
Yes. It is proactive, grid-aware manufacturing scheduling, but the complexity scales up rapidly from there because energy usage directly impacts sustainability reporting.
Right. Sustainability is no longer just a marketing exercise or a CSR brochure.
No, rigorously tracking the carbon footprint per unit is rapidly becoming a strict legal mandate.
For everyone.
Especially for suppliers. Original equipment manufacturers, the massive global OEMs like major automakers who buy components from tier one suppliers, they are requiring what is known as a digital product passport.
A digital product passport? Meaning what exactly?
Meaning a supplier must literally prove the exact carbon cost of every single widget that rolls off their assembly line.
And if you cannot digitally prove your carbon footprint per unit,
the OEM simply drops you as a preferred supplier and finds someone who can.
That is brutal. And the data requirements for that must be immense.
Massive.
But wait, whenever you introduce thousands of connected endpoints, acoustic sensors, edge gateways into a factory floor to capture all this data, you simultaneously introduce massive cybersecurity risks.
Oh, absolutely. And historically, industrial software vendors have treated security as a frustrating afterthought.
Right. They build the software, and then they just sprinkle some basic encryption on at the very end to check a compliance box.
Exactly. But in the 2026 regulatory environment, that bolted-on approach is a massive legal liability.
Because the enforcement landscape has completely changed. We're talking about the European Union's Cyber Resilience Act, the CRA, alongside the unforgiving global data mandates of GDPR.
Right. They dictate that security must be fundamentally baked into the architecture from day one. You cannot sprinkle it on.
So how are manufacturers actually doing that?
This regulatory pressure is driving the necessity of an edge-first approach, which is absolutely crucial for the German Mittelstand and really any manufacturer handling proprietary designs.
Let's define the mechanics of edge-first for you listeners out there. It means the heavy data processing and the AI analysis happen physically on those local edge gateways inside the factory walls, right?
Yes.
Rather than sending a constant stream of raw machine data up to a centralized public cloud like AWS or Azure.
Exactly. Because the public cloud is inherently vulnerable to broader supply chain attacks. By processing data at the edge, the manufacturer guarantees that absolutely no sensitive sovereign production data, like the exact tooling tolerances of a classified aerospace component, ever leaves the physical walls of the factory without explicit, deeply encrypted permission.
And this requires implementing true zero-trust architectures, correct?
Yes. Zero trust assumes that every connection attempt is hostile until proven otherwise, even if that connection is coming from inside the factory's own local network.
Okay, so no public cloud vulnerabilities means compliance with the CRA and GDPR is structurally guaranteed by the architecture itself.
Right.
But, you know, taking a step back, look at this from the perspective of a CTO or a plant leader listening right now.
It's a lot.
It's a huge amount. Implementing retrofitted sensors, calibrating AI acoustic models, integrating real-time energy telemetry with the ERP, building zero-trust edge servers. I mean, that sounds like a massive multi-year, multi-million euro consulting nightmare.
It really does.
It sounds like a perfect recipe for what the industry calls pilot purgatory, where digital transformations go to die in endless steering committee meetings. How do manufacturers actually adopt this technology without just drowning?
The sources are remarkably blunt about this. The bloated, big consulting firm model is dead.
Just entirely dead.
Dead. The traditional approach of hiring an army of consultants on cripplingly high retainers to build a three-year transformation roadmap, it simply does not work for agentic AI. The technology moves way too fast.
So what's the alternative? How do you achieve actual return on investment?
The execution model must be extremely lean and AI first. Manufacturers are bypassing the massive consulting houses entirely.
Right. So a lean execution model avoids boiling the ocean.
Exactly. Instead of a plant-wide multi-million euro rollout, a genuine technology partner starts with a small, highly targeted proof of concept, usually in the range of 10 to 20,000 euros.
That's incredibly reasonable.
It is. And the objective is to attack one specific highly painful operational bottleneck. For example, deploying acoustic sensors on one single critical conveyor system to empirically prove that the AI can reduce unscheduled downtime by that 30% metric.
So you prove the financial value first, quickly, and cheaply before scaling up.
Exactly. But executing at that price point requires a strict separation of the front and back end of the implementation.
How so?
The lean model utilizes local, highly experienced personnel to handle the strategic alignment and relationship building directly on the factory floor. Meanwhile, the heavy technical lifting, the complex AI acoustic modeling, the data collation, the algorithmic training that is managed by specialized offshore experts.
Oh, I see. So this bifurcated approach keeps the resource pressure low and protects the manufacturer's margins while still delivering enterprise-grade AI.
Precisely.
But, you know, a CTO's inbox is already flooded with vendor pitches promising the world.
Every single day.
How does a decision maker distinguish genuine, value-first outreach from traditional hardware sales spam disguised as AI innovation?
The differentiator is incredibly clear. A genuine technology partner will never start an engagement by trying to sell you a gateway or a sensor box.
What do they start with?
They start by assessing your existing data infrastructure. If a vendor is pushing a recurring software as a service subscription before they intimately understand your specific downtime bottlenecks or your unique brownfield hardware constraints that is sales spam.
Run the other way.
Run. True experts provide upfront value through comprehensive data readiness audits to see if the facility is even structurally capable of an autonomous shift.
So, distilling all of these heavily researched manifestos down for everyone listening, the core message is that survival in 2026 is fundamentally about moving from frantic human firefighting to calm autonomous orchestration.
That's it. The era of the digital dashboard is over. True industry leaders are no longer selling mere internet connectivity. They are providing the absolute certainty of an autonomous operational future.
Which means it is time to stop watching your profit margins burn away on a high-definition screen.
Exactly. If your multi-million euro software stack still requires a human being to step in and save the day when things go wrong, you have only succeeded in digitizing your operational friction.
Agentic industrial intelligence dictates that your legacy machines, your energy meters, and your ERP communicate fluidly and execute complex supply chain decisions in milliseconds, completely on their own.
It is a profound paradigm shift for the manufacturing sector.
It really is. And I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over as you walk your own factory floor tomorrow. Look up at the screens in your control room.
Take a good look.
Imagine if, tomorrow morning, every single dashboard in your facility went completely dark to human eyes. No monitors, no alerts popping up on an analyst's phone, no color-coded charts.
Total informational blackout?
In that total blackout, could your physical assets negotiate their own survival? Could your lines autonomously reschedule their own power usage based on sudden grid fluctuations? Could they predict their own bearing failures through acoustic anomalies and automatically instruct the ERP to order their own replacement parts?
It's a tough question.
It is. If the answer is no, you have to ask yourself a very uncomfortable question. Is your factory really smart, or is it just highly visible?